Somebody stopped me yesterday and said, this program looks awfully good. We've got three university guys, a veterinarian, and a breed association rep. We have a lot of useful information from you three in the Ivory Towers. And it reminded me, as they said that, kind of a jest of an old quote. I love Will Rogers. He was a pretty wise old gentleman. He said there are three kinds of men in this world. One who learns by reading. A few who learn by observation. The rest of them have to pee on the electric fence themselves. Now, I'll let you all figure where any of the three different sectors of Socrates is in that case, but I think it's been proven several times this morning that these just aren't any veterinarians or researchers or extension personnel. These folks really have had a hand in both the private sector and in the research sector, and they're putting that into useful marketing tools for you all. So it's been some great information thus far. Take ownership. That was the vague title that I was charged with speaking on, as Dr. Strobe mentioned. And I had a little tough time with this myself, and I helped put the title together. So I kind of served myself a pretty tough path here. We all own something. We may own the land or the fences that we work on, or we own the cattle or the horse or the trailer or the pickup with the extended cab and the four doors and everything else. But there's a piece of owning, we'll call it capital owned, that we don't allow time to think about. And that's part B in Merriam-Webster's definition, having power over or control over. Now, I'm not talking about a monopoly or oligopoly or any of the other words that get thrown around in today's marketplace, but I am talking about taking ownership for things other than just those half-part aspects that you might see on that on those books. You all saw what true ownership was if you flew into Bismarck Airport. United Airlines and Northwest pretty well owned the flight market, or the flying market in here. But let's look at something from our customer standpoint. You know, the commercial cow-calf producers who are out there buying our bulls. And let's take some ownership for them and for the things that they need from us, the seed stock producers. The first thing that they want to own and need to own are the genetics. They come and buy a bull or bulls at your place. They own that animal. You transfer that registration paper to them, they own the information about that animal. We've tried to help the American Angus Association help those commercial producers. We call them Angus affiliates, those who have bought a bull in the last 2 or 3 years that aren't members of the Angus Association, by getting them to compile information of all of the bulls they bought from you within the last few years. Listed by name, by birth date, tattoo, and of course the 17 traits that we measure for our APD. This gives them an opportunity right before they're sending those bulls out to pasture to see if those EPDs have changed and to see how they can group those bulls and send them out there to do the best job in their breeding cows. They also have production records. Probably about every one of them has some type of information, whether it's written down on the back of a feed sack that you turn the bulls in May 1st and pick them up August 1st, or what the calves weaned as a group, or maybe have a caddy look like this that's bouncing around in the dashboard and pickup. But they own some type of production records. But do they truly own, capital own, the knowledge that goes with those records if they're processed into more useful and usable knowledge pieces and information pieces? The Angus Association has what they call the Beef Record Service. It was initiated about 3 years ago. It takes that raw information about the breeding, the calving, the weaning, yearling, feedlot, and carcass information, if those folks retaining ownership or can get that information back, and processes that through a software-defined process into more useful information, summaries that tell producers where they can make some selection decisions from year to year. Non-breed-specific program, folks can either use paper forms or submit the data online at www.angusbrs.com. It costs $2 per weaning weight submitted, very similar to the timing of the AHR program. And there's more information on the general BRS site at beefrecords.com. As we mentioned previously, more and more folks today are getting ownership of the carcass data on their cattle that they feed. Regardless if they retain ownership on those or not, they're trying to get that information back. Now, it may come in a pretty rough form, as you can see up here. But, again, through the AHIR program, or even the Certified Angus Feedlot Licensing program, also the National Angus Carcass Challenge that those FLP yards are working with right now, you can take that data from the feed yard, from the packing plant, and tie it back to those production on the range from the cow or the bull standpoint. As you can see information about the National Angus Carcass Challenge there, any of the Certified Angus Feed folks, I'm sure, can answer more questions on that. Here's one thing that we as feedstock producers probably do have a leg up on some of our commercial cow-calf customers. A lot of you folks have some type of marketing plan. You know approximately when you're going to sell those bulls or those replacement females, be they commercial or registered. The commercial guy is a little bit different a lot of times. He or she may go out to the pasture and they may take group weights, or they may not. This fellow was fairly detailed in a lot of his data. He's got the Dunlap pasture calves, that was 516 pounds. The home pasture calves did a lot better, 592 pounds. They ran out of vaccine, so he needs to go to the vet, buy more IVR. Looks like he's got a couple cows that need to go. One's got a bad eye, and the other came up dry this year. Now, is that ownership small O or ownership big O? I'm not really sure. But rest assured, he did transfer that from his palm pilot, that's what we call that energy, onto a more solid concrete format that can be filed for better searching and querying in the database. See, he circled right there in purple so that he remembered that the calves in the three-quarter pasture averaged 500 and some pounds and on and on and on. But right here, and it's a little tough to see, but there's his marketing plan. Call Sarah Barn, set delivery dates. And that's about as forward thinking a lot of times as we get when we go to marketing calves. Regardless if we sell them straight off the cows, weaned calves, or background pre-condition types, or yearlings, or even cattle that we retain ownership on through the feed yard. So recently, and really it's been a drawn out process, but we created what we call the Angus Source. This is again for commercial producers to want to market those cattle for more profits. We can't help them just sell them for X dollars above the market and not put anything in. We have what we call the Angus Heartnet, or Angus Resource Clearinghouse Network. We changed the name, changed a few things, and added a tagging component to that here in the last 6 months or so, and we now call it the Angus Source. Producers, and we'll walk through the basics of it here, is a tagging and marketing program that enables commercial producers to document the source, genetic, and market or process information on the cattle that they're selling. Regardless if they're feeder cattle or replacement, costs $1 per calf enrolled. That covers the ear tagging button, of course, shipping of those straight to the producer, and also marketing information that producer can take either to the livestock market or to the feed yard, order buyer, video auction, wherever that they might be selling those cattle. Extra information is available, and you can enroll cattle or enroll your commercial customers' cattle, which is one thing that several feedstock producers are starting to choose to do, at angussource.com or simply by calling the American Angus Association, and we can do it over the phone. Since its inception, or the enhancements that were released August 6th of this year, I've had a lot of folks ask me, what's the real reason? I've got your number, Carrier. I know exactly why you're doing the same source thing. It's country of origin labeling, isn't it? Well, that might be one fact. And that might be one thing that commercial producers using Angus Source, tagging those cattle, enrolling those in some kind of documented program, might benefit from it. Heavy on the mic, though, because we haven't seen the first rule of regulation for the mandatory program that's supposed to start in less than a year for USDA, as far as I know, unless somebody else has got an inside track. So we're kind of flying blindly here. We do hope that the Angus Source program, or the Beef Record Service on a more higher level, will enable producers to get the data compiled that they need for some type of mandatory country of origin labeling program, if in fact that does come to fruition. We can't promise it. We can't guarantee it. That's why the program was started. Then they sold these store fair flat programs Dr. Linnaeus talked about. You're trying to give folks an opportunity to mess this market up even more by differentiating another tier of prices. Well, if that is a possibility by putting these scabs through the program, that they can then be verifiable. I can't say verified because I didn't go out there and tag the rascal, but able to be verified through someone else's program, that's another benefit of Angus Source. How about differentiating Angus sire cattle from blacks? I've heard that a lot of times. There's these black and foster cattle. I heard a guy that bought these replacement heifers, these 5-6 weight open weaning calves. They grew up to be good old stout 1,900-pound black cows that had very little Angus in them from the way they looked. So I had enough calls, or we had enough calls in the Angus Association about buyers who had gotten those cattle, and also about sellers who had sold their cattle right next to us and said, look, there is a difference. We can see it. Certified Angus Beef Program has shown that there's a difference. Let's do it on a live basis for those of us that can't retain ownership or don't wish to retain ownership all the way to the packing plant. So that is another factor. Another factor, increase the value of transfer registered Angus bulls. One caveat of this program, when a customer gets on to order these tags, he or she lists, and we'll go through the information, but one of the things that they must list are the potential sires of those calves. They turned out 5 bulls of cows last year. They listed all 5 registration numbers for those bulls they turned out. Those registration numbers don't show up on their ownership according to our records, which means the registration papers were transferred to them. The bulls aren't eligible to be listed on this, and they can't get tagged for those calves. So that's another part. But the true reason, all 4 of these, you can name 4 or 40 more that could be benefits to this program. Here's the real reason that the Angus Source program was created as it is now. 3 guys in a sale barn. Pick a barn, any barn in the nation. This one happens to be Green City Livestock, Green City, Missouri, about a year ago. And I know exactly what these guys were talking about. You all do. We probably have a pair switch on the first 2 things. They were talking about the weather and the market. In one of those 2 words, markets or weather. But eventually, if they had Angus sire cattle, I'll bet anything that the conversation quickly evolved to this. I've got good Angus sire cattle. Where's my premium? Take all that money for that registered Angus bull. Did everything that Dr. Weigel said to do in the calf, brought him here, didn't get squats. Well, the funny thing about premiums, I sat in that trail bar. Same place, same picture. Great group of black calves, yearlings, coming in, that came through there. Guy throws his hand up in the back and says, boys, they've had all their shots. Order buyers laugh their butt off. Now that may have used to mean something. It may have used to mean something. But as many times as folks have been burned by that statement, meaning they got black legs at framing time, that doesn't mean a lot. So I talked to several folks, and I talked to one gentleman in Valentine, Nebraska, sale barn manager, named Ray Arndt. And I was asking him the same thing, and he said, premiums, Matt, I'm sick to death of hearing folks ask for their premiums. Ray Arndt said, and this was before I even sat in that Green City sale barn, heard this guy say it. He said, premiums aren't going to be paid on live cattle coming through my barn. I don't like it, but it's a sad fact of life. He said the premiums will be paid on that reliable information about those cattle coming through my barn. Now, it took me a little while, but finally that soaked in and started processing, and that is the true reason for the creation of this Angus Source program. To give you folks, to give your commercial customers the opportunity to document that information. First 2 things, source and genetics. Where the cattle come from, and what have they got in from a genetic standpoint? We need basic contact information about the farm or ranch of origin. We have most of that for your customers, so the Angus affiliates are buying bulls from you. Name, address, phone number, city, state, zip, email, website if they've got it, fax number, etc. We need the sire or the number of brand sires, registration numbers. Again, those must be in that affiliate number's codes. And we do have special cases for AI tires, if they're AI and they're heifers or cows in a commercial setting. But we do need those registration numbers on the bulls that they own. Calves need to be at least 50% Angus. We need the birth season and location. We don't have to know individual birthday. We don't want to know. We can't even record those on that. The record service, kind of the Cadillac and the individual cattle management system, yeah, we can take it. Angus Stewart, I want to know they were born February, March, April, 2003. I want to know they were born in Williston, North Dakota. And then finally, the cow breed makeup work. If it's just a crossbred set of cows, you can click that as well. All this is you can enter this all on the internet at angusthorpe.com, or as I said, call it in and we'll put it in there for you. The last part of it is the marketing portion. Sometimes folks will put those first two in, get their tag the cattle, then decide what they're going to do with the cattle from a marketing standpoint, and get on here and list this information. That's another one of those options that we try to offer them. Basic information. If you're selling the cattle direct from the ranch, list it. Sold direct from the ranch immediately. If you're putting them on a video or a sale barn or anything else, list that information. The date they're going to be sold and anything else. Average weight and range of those calves. The management information. How are they vaccinated? We don't have a minimum basic requirement that we say producers have to follow, because it's our feeling that there are probably different situations for different areas of the country, for different management situations, and you know what will work for you and allow you to get the most return off those assets or return off that investment. So we allow you to document what you did. If they're bald and calves and never had a needle stuck in them, I don't recommend it. But there is probably some value for the buyer who's getting those cattle. So he knows what he needs to do to them. Be real careful, right? That's what he wants. Past group feed yard and carcass information. Again, one of those valuable pieces of information. If you have it, list it. Put it on there. Don't expect someone to ask you or your commercial customers for that, because they won't. And then just general comments about the cattle. So the first thing that's due to enroll these cattle, and go on the website, submit the enrollment form for your operation. And a lot of, as I mentioned, a lot of seed stock producers are choosing to do this for their commercial customers, or even paying for the first enrollment tag. So many tags per bull that they purchase from you. Several different options for you to use this as a customer service tool to those cow calf producers. But if they were doing this themselves, they'd sign that affidavit in that form, and then enroll the calves or order the tags, all that information that I've listed before. And finally, you tag the calves. It's not a real difficult program. Here's what's on the tag that goes in there. We wrestled with several things. One was the vaccination herd health program. Do we adopt a minimum set of requirements, or do we just let folks list them? And that's what we decided to do on that. The other thing that we really wrestled with, Ron, do we use visual ID like this, or do we attach an electronic or RFID? Our opinion at this point in time was the infrastructure in the general industry was not there for folks to use the EID to its maximum potential. Give it a year, maybe two or three, and I think it'll be there, and you'll see this program and nearly every other migrate toward nesting or toward attaching those individual IDs or visual IDs to the electronic ID. But for right now, we try to keep it as simple as possible, and it's only a visual ID. State of calves origin, pretty obvious. Where were they born? Top right, herd location code. This is the affiliate members code. We know them by in our database. At some point in time, if, and I would assume when, this national ID program comes to fruition, there will likely be some type of premises ID or site ID that each of you producers and each of your commercial customers will have for that farm or ranching operation. That's what number will go there at that point. But for now, as a placeholder and as a useful data tool, we're using that AAA affiliate ID. Down at the bottom of the national ID number, this is from a bank of about 1 billion numbers that I believe Bill Bowman and Scott Johnson worked to get about 3 or 4 years ago when we were starting the beef record service program. This is part of the American ID number. It's not likely going to be the quote-unquote national ID program that everybody uses. But for now, it's the best that's out there, and it does uniquely identify this animal from any other animal in the world with a 15-digit tag or 15-digit number. The large number, 3001, is simply a tag number. Herd ID, management ID, whatever you want to call it. customers or folks ordering these tags can make that about any number that they want. They can start sequentially beginning with number 3 and going through 3,000. They can type in their own numbers if it's an insequential numbering system, or they can leave it blank if they want to write their own herd IDs in there as well. These tags have been shipped from our facility. We're currently using All Flex USA to produce these tags. They're shipped from Dallas, Fort Worth area in Texas, directly to whoever ordered the tags and whoever's affiliate code and information was on them. After you get those tags, or at the same time you're ordering them, if you filled out that marketing information we talked about, where are we going to sell the cattle, land, etc., you can print out this concise one or maybe 2-page document, depending on how much information you have, that lists everything that you've put on thus far. The location of origin of the cattle, your contact information, phone number, everything else. The bulls that those calves might have been fired by will have an average of all those EPD traits along the bottom. Have all the vaccination schedule that you listed that was done to them, any comments, any past feedback data, everything that can add those premiums that's possible. Simultaneously, we'll put it on the web. This is listed out there for anyone to go and view listings of these cattle that are enrolled in Angusort. It's also emailed on a weekly basis, those new listings to the internet, to Feedyard who signed up for a service to source these cattle and find out who's got another group of cattle that's on the Angusort program that I know this information about that I can go and bid on or buy. Again, we took a step back from the whole ID issue or from the whole value-added marketing issue in the beef industry, and we said, look, there are plenty of high-tech type programs out there that give these producers every single piece of information they could ever want on these cattle. Guess what? They're not being adopted. Maybe in small quantities, but we've got them. This beef record service has been here nearly stagnant for years. It's unbelievable the power that thing has. Guess what? Folks don't want to tag their cows. Maybe they don't want to fill out records individually. Probably don't have time. Maybe they decided, from my standpoint, my labor situation, it ain't worth it yet. Whatever the reason, we said, we're going to keep this as simple as possible. You count your calves, you order your tags, you enroll, takes 6 or 8 minutes on the internet if you've got a decent internet connection. You get the tags, you tag them. Enter your marketing information, you've got something you think can really make some money off the cattle. So, we've talked about several different pieces of ownership. Ownership of genetics, ownership of those production records and carcass data, and ownership of that market product. Beer cans, replacement efforts, whatever the case may be. The last thing we're going to talk about is ownership of the breed. Everybody knows in the beef industry what the breed is. We said a little bit ago, we've almost done it. We're almost the whole scene of the beef industry. Guess what? I'm not that proud of that statement. I'm sorry. The fact that the beef breed, everybody knows what beef is. Oh my gosh. Stop, son. What is that? That's his heritage. I'm not here to belittle any breed. I'm not here to belittle any breed association. I'm not here to belittle any breed, regardless of what color the cattle are. I am going to use this, though, to prove and illustrate a little point. 25 years ago, 1978, Uptime Certified Speed Program went into business. What was the breed? I'm a kind of young whippersnapper, and I remember 1978, and it wasn't that long ago. 25 years is all. Anybody know how many registrations between this brief picture and the old counterpart were there in 1978? Just shy of 400,000. Whoo! 5 years later, they slipped a little bit. They were still above where the American Ag Association is in fiscal year 2002. 292,802. Another 10 years, they're back under 150,000. Last year, again, two breeds are not combined in one association. 69,000 registrations. 25 years. Why is that? Anybody got a guess? Here are a few that I just really came up with. By the way, that's an 83% increase. I had to use my calculator to put that together. Was it because they didn't adopt performance information, EPDs, on a wide scale? Yeah, that's probably one of the reasons. How about not adopting OpenAI? Sharing that genetic ownership that you have for a bit of a profit, but also the better the breed, better the beef industry. I'd say that'd be a little factor as well. See some nods. They didn't see what Mr. Johnson and so many others saw back in the mid-70s as the need to create a branded beef program. Of course, I've got branded beef. Get a little beef there through the hide in May, and then it's branded a little more than I'd like it to be from beef to egg standards. What's branded beef? These three were all factors. I think this is probably the biggest factor. 1978. I'm reading that, read it down. I'm happy as a lark. Got a bull in every commercial pasture. I've got customers that will not quit coming and begging for my bulls. I'm twice or three or four times the size of the next breed. I'm really fat and satisfied. I am satisfied. Some may even call it complacent. I don't see any reason why I would do anything different. Sell my bull, see my herd bull that I just bought a $500 ad and herd reference issue, sell his semen to somebody else instead of two or three sons? Why in the world would I do that? Keep individual weights? Look, they're frame seven. I like them that way. Leave me alone. They were satisfied. And I'm afraid it came back and harmed them. But we're okay. We are sitting pretty, the American Hanging Association. Four times the registration in that close breed. 38% of the total beef cattle registrations in the nation. 60% of the U.S. commercial cow herd using our bulls appears probably 85 or 90. Why would we need to do anything different? Why would we need to offer this service that this Yehu is talking about for our commercial customers? Why would we need to? And go back to old Will Rogers. Will Rogers said, even on the right track, if you stand still, you will get run over. That's why. I don't mean to come from St. Joseph, Missouri, some snot-nosed punk who doesn't look at your financial picture and doesn't see the need that you all see every time you open the books to be profitable. This year, today, for the next however many years. But I've got a little advantage because I can step back from that and don't have those daily pressures, and I can see a few of these other goings on, and hear a few of these other breeds and breeders point their finger and say, just wait, old boy, you're just young enough. What goes around comes around. We were you one day. We were the breed association rep, the breed that said, we got it good. Remember how good it was back then? It'll never change. I don't want to be that breeder. I don't want to be that breed association rep that stands around, puffed up, saying, remember how good it was 25 years ago? Golly, that was great. Dead broke now. I can't find the market for my bulls, but it was really good back then. I want to be the breeder or the breed association rep that says, man, it's good now. It was good a few years ago, and it's getting better. Because we're aggressive, we're seeing the need to service this customer and hear what he or she is telling us and go about producing a product that stands up. We're culling bulls just like we always have. I know we could sell 100% of these calves. We could do it. We could run them through our sale ring. We could run them out back. We could sell 85 to 100% of these calves. Gosh, I remember the training for calves. I know there was 20, 30% behind the average of my calf crop, but I can't cull them. Sell them as a bull for something. Foot problems, structure problems. Look, you see that numbers on that bull? Don't worry about that. Sell them on. Don't worry about it tomorrow. I don't want to worry like some of those guys, as Dr. Dunn said, with the white faces and even other groups. I don't want to pick on that group solely because I saw it happen. Even the last 10 or 15 years. I was down in Texas as a regional manager, and you all may not have quite seen it up here, but those folks down there are still recovering from a couple different continental breeds that were able to sell anything they wanted during the mid-80s and even early 90s. I don't care how good those two continental breeds get their genetics. I don't care how many programs and services they offer for folks who buy those genetics. I don't know if they'll ever recover from the damage they did to themselves by selling the substandard bull, by not adopting change, by not seeking to be progressive. We've never had to do that, you say. Ben Franklin, he's a good old cattleman, I think. He may not have been talking about the Angus business, but I like this quote. He said, when you're finished changing, you're finished. Benito, you're done. Both is good. Beef industry is good. Angus business is good. Darn, how many percent are we going to be up on registration this year? We're going to be up. We're going to be close. It's going to be good. But guess what? We're going to have a good one. But guess what? Don't think it's too good, because it can always be better. Just because everybody else is pretty satisfied with the picture, don't ever take your eye off the ball and that target down the line. Because when you're finished changing, you're finished. I'm kind of like your hired man. I don't have to go back and look at those books. I don't have to deal with those pressures. But I do need you to be in business in a few years, so that I can hopefully continue to help everybody out here produce a product and service your customers like I know they need and want to be serviced. So any information that you can take from this, take it with a grain of salt. So I do think that we need to keep our eye on the future and pay attention to what has happened in the brief. So keep Ms. Franklin's quote in mind when you finish changing, you're finished. At that point, I'm finished. Any questions you all have, I'll be around the rest of the day and the rest of the tour and answer them at that time.